Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, here's GMAC, Greg McKinney, KB, Ken Blankenship, and Lonzo.
The glamour of the fans equals the glamour of the event.
Welcome to another hour of The Huddle.
This is ESPN Update.
We're back in the huddle, 3 minutes after 2 o'clock. Greg McKinney, Kim Blankenship, and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate. 844-477-3776. Text line 47183 on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Walt Weiss has stepped down as the manager of the Colorado Rockies. So baseball season ended yesterday, and that was a quick move in Denver. He's out after four seasons in charge. The Rockies were 75-87 this season. That's actually their best record since 2010, but Weiss decides to give it up there with the Rockies. So there you go. We will have wild card games for you here on ESPN Upstate. We've got Monday Night Football for you tonight, the Giants in Minnesota. Then tomorrow night, we've got the American League wild card game. That will be Baltimore at Toronto, 7:30 airtime. And Wednesday night, the National League wild card game. That will be San Francisco at the New York Mets. So we've got you covered with something going on every night this week. Thursday night football from the NFL. Friday night, we have Burns and Bowling Springs. And, of course, a bunch of college football for you on Saturday. So if you're in the mood for some live sports, just keep it right here on ESPN Upstate, because we have tons of it to bring to you here over the next few days. 844-477-3776. Text line 47183. Will Muschamp coming up. Also David Newton on the Panthers. Let's go back to the phones now and bring in JR next. JR, you're up in the huddle. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good.
Got a question.
Okay.
In that Clemson game, last touchdown, that was a flag on the field, and nothing became of it. What happened with that?
Oh, man. Anybody remember that? Flag. The last touchdown by Clemson? The flag.
Yeah, it's a flag on the field.
Yeah.
Look at it. Go back and look at it.
All right.
It's a flag on the field, and nothing was done about it.
You saying the flag was against Clemson?
I don't know who it was against, but nothing ever came up. Over Clemson had the ball on whatever it is for the last touchdown.
Yep.
If you look at it, it's a flag laying on the field.
Okay, well, obviously, JR, it was either against Louisville or it was a dead ball foul, and I don't think they changed the placement on the next kickoff, did they? So, obviously, it wasn't against the Tigers, but I appreciate it. We'll see if we can find out what that was for you. Thanks for the call. Somebody knows, and they'll call us up here. I just don't remember specifically a call on the last Clemson touchdown. Was that the Williams touchdown?
Well, no, I think it was Leggett, wasn't it? I believe.
Is that the Leggett touchdown?
I think so. I think his was the last one, I believe. But anyway, what I think is what he's saying is, I mean, did anybody get an explanation? Did the ref come to midfield and said, inadvertent flag on the play, or any? Did we get an explanation? I think the caller was implying or either saying outright, we didn't get any kind of, I mean, you know, would it just dropped out of some homie's pocket?
No, I'm sure there was an explanation. What you got?
Someone called and said it was a offsides on Louisville.
There you go.
So
explained.
So
done.
Okay. All right. Well, we just want to know.
Done.
Okay.
And declined in touchdown stands.
Okay.
There were a lot of complaints about officiating on both sides. I know in the first half, there were a couple of cases where Clemson got away with some pass interference, or at least some holding, right?
You know what I think is funny? When that's going on in the announcers, which, you know, I like Fowler and Herb Street for the most part, but how you could tell in their tone that they see it, and they try to act like they don't see it as far as the holding and some of that stuff. And yeah, I think a lot of it was pretty blatant, but I think it was different in the second half.
Yeah, and there were a couple cases where calls went against Clemson that people certainly complained about.
See, Mac, I'll have a strong opinion on that tomorrow because I'm going to break down the film tonight.
Yeah, you do that.
All right.
You do that.
I'm serious. Right.
South Carolina played fairly well against Texas A&M, lost it 24-13 in Columbia on Saturday afternoon. Started off gangbusters with a 75-yard touchdown first play from scrimmage for A.J. Turner and went up 7-0. But Texas A&M answered pretty quickly. So they're 7-7 at halftime. And then Texas A&M outscored the Gamecocks 17-6 in the second half of that game. Brandon McElwain was 9-for-15. That's fine. No complaints about 9-for-15. You know how many yards he had on those nine completions?
How many?
34. 34 yards on nine completions. The man can't throw it down the field, guys.
Not right yet, can he?
That's a problem.
Yeah, we kind of knew that going in, didn't we?
Well, I mean, Perry Orth is throwing it down the field a little bit. Perry Orth completed 11 passes for 138 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So 100-plus more yards on two more completions for Orth. And I think we'll see, but I think Orth has to play certainly this weekend. I think he will play. Do you want to shatter the confidence of Brandon McElwain and start Perry Orth this week? I mean, based on the play last week, he deserves a start. I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, if you're asking me, I told you I don't want this job. I made a suggestion from afar, but I don't want this coaching job at South Carolina. I don't want to make the call on that because I told you Bentley or the field. Other than that, you guys can bicker about the field. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm doing? Unless something is wrong that we don't know about, I'm moving Bentley in there. I'm going to see what he's got. I'm going to put McElwain at the slot and get him some reps in certain situations, and he's also going to be my number one backup. And I don't mean to do Perry Orth anyway. He's going to be in the ready, on the ready, whatever.
He was better than McElwain last week.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you have to judge what kind of defense and the personnel, what's being thrown at you, which kid you're going to play in a backup role.
Mm-hmm.
But until I see a good little dose of the big kid, Bentley, it's just all bets are off.
Brandon McElwain on 9 out of 15 passing, which is not bad statistically. His quarterback rating was 5.8.
Yeah, and
last week.
But his slot rating would have been a lot better.
He's not going to be a receiver.
Why?
I don't need him as a receiver.
Why?
Because McElwain,
he's a good runner. He's a very good runner. He's, just can't
he didn't develop? Come there to be a receiver, KB.
Well,
he can just play baseball.
Well, that's
Chad
fine.
Holbrook,
maybe he helps the football team a lot better at receiver if Bentley's a real deal. Because he's going to be sitting over there. If Bentley's a real dude, he's going to be sitting over there waiting on special situations.
Mm.
Why not get him out there and get the ball in his hands?
They're going to get some receivers back this week, and they were very shorthanded receivers against Texas A&M. Here's Muschamp talking about the injury situation for the Gamecocks going into the Georgia game this week.
Injury-wise, Rendrikus Davis and Donnell Stanley will continue to be out this week. Both Devo Samuel and Brian Edwards will be back this week. They ran tonight and looked good. Lawrence Bryant's back and Blake Camper's back. He was available for the game but didn't play. Just was still a little gimpy on his ankle. But if we had had an emergency, he'd have been able to play.
Coach, with the way Perry Worth played yesterday, are you giving heavy consideration to starting him this weekend?
Well, we'll see how it pans out through the week. We have a plan for what we're going to do, but both guys will play.
I know what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to tell you. That was the answer to that question. That's what that was all about.
That's right.
Without Brian Edwards and Debo Samuel, South Carolina was pretty much down to tight ends on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden Hurst had a nice game. He had 5 catches for 90 yards. Casey Crosby had 4 catches for 51 yards. And then A.J. Turner had 4. Chavis Dawkins caught 5 balls. He had a couple of drops, though, out of Burns High School. And Guger had 3 catches for 25 yards. But they were thin at receiver, no question about it, in that game. But I thought the defense played well. There were a couple of cases where they missed some tackles. But I like the defensive effort. They've got to find somebody to return punts. Don't like Jamarcus King back there as he fumbled one. Don't like that. They need somebody back there.
Do you think they found a wideout in Guger? It sounded... Yeah. I was listening to some of it on the radio, and they were sounding pretty excited about him. they really were. Tommy. Mm-hmm.
3 catches for 25 yards.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's all that's going around with a team that's really struggling.
I got that, but he didn't do anything
that's
to
huge. No,
turn
okay.
His.
So he didn't look good when he caught it and started running? Okay.
I didn't see anything.
All right.
He's all right. He's all right.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a star receiver there. But again, they get Debo and they get Edwards. Edwards is your guy this year, I think. Edwards is your go-to guy. And Debo, if he can stay healthy, those two guys, and you're okay at receiver, if as long as they're healthy. But they're all, it's hamstring you, man.
Yeah.
They all got hamstrings.
Hamstring state.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the running game outside of the 75-yard run by A.J. Turner. Now, Rico Dowdle looked pretty good, I thought. Rico Dowdle from Asheville had 47 yards.
They sounded very excited about him as well.
9 carries, 47 yards, 5.2 a carry. He was all right. He was
good,
pretty tough
running.
Yeah, he was. He was breaking a couple tackles. He didn't go down first contact. It was good to see that.
What's he, 215, 220? Or better?
I'd have to look it up.
Pretty decent-sized kid.
He's not real big, but... I mean, yeah, he's big enough.
Yeah.
And nothing from David Williams. Again, we're back to nothing from David Williams. 2 carries, 3 yards. Thank you, David.
David, would you like to go back to Philly? Seriously. Would he? I mean, I don't know. Is he?
I don't know the deal, man, but it's not looking good there.
Is it going to be a late bloom situation? Or
is
it an offensive line situation?
Other guys are running better than he is.
Okay. And so... I don't know. Maybe magically when
he's the big back.
There.
He needs to be the power back. He needs to do a little better than what he's doing.
Power up then.
Mm-hmm. South Carolina, Georgia. I think they have a shot to stay in the game with Georgia better than they did with Texas A&M. They play well enough against Texas A&M that I think they can stay in the game with Georgia. South Carolina's usually pretty good, especially at home against Georgia.
I think they'll be decent defensively, you know. Yeah. But Eason's got a lot of upside. He's got a cannon boy. You know, Chubb's well and all that. They could get it going offensively, but I think South Carolina's defense will keep them in the game. The only mystery is how you going to generate some offense.
That's correct.
It's a huge mystery in Columbia, South Carolina.
It's been one every week, and it will remain one. We'll see what they can do. 844-477-3776. Let's bring in Brian next. Welcome into the huddle, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well. What's up?
Man, I tried to survive and call in Friday, but I fell asleep on the couch watching a little high school football.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a good night. Good night.
It was. I was just calling in about the Bowling Springs Dorman game. I tell you, not making any excuses, but I want to get your guys' take on it. Bowling Springs could win a game if you have 150-plus yards in penalties, and that's what it was. And my question to you guys is, I wonder if you're seeing it more. I got a problem with the referee, and I think they're dictating the outcome of games lately, and they're not letting the kids make the plays, and it's just really frustrating to watch when referees are dictating the outcome of games, and they're taking the flow of the game away, and it's just because there's no way, you know, some of those calls were so iffy. Bowling Springs had 150-plus yards in penalties. They just got destroyed by Dorman. I'm not making any excuses for them. Dorman played a good game, but not penalty-free, and that's what just kind of bothered me.
All right. Appreciate it, Brian. Look, high school officiating is touch-and-go sometimes, right?
I'll take that high road with you.
You've seen that. It's been... That's a lot. 150 yards is a lot of penalties against a high school team.
You really don't want me to keep it real right now. I'll take the high road with you. I'll just ride over here shotgun with you, all right?
Dorman beat Bowling Springs 28-14. And I'll see Bowling Springs this week. They'll be coming into Nixon Field to take on the Burns Rebels this week. So give you a better idea of what I think of them. That's the first loss for Bowling Springs. But, you know, Dorman started to develop a little momentum. We'll have Dave Gutschall on the show tomorrow to talk about that win. But that's a big win for Dorman. So now in Region 3-5A, since we're on the subject of high school football.
Do I sound nanny-nanny poo-poo when I say I call that one? I call that upset. You remember, we had that talk on air.
Okay.
We did.
I
promise, Lonzo's got it.
Which upset for what?
The Dorman at Bowling Springs. I told you, I love Bowling Springs, but I believe Dorman's
going to get it. You say so many things
them.
That, you know, they sometimes counteract each other.
Check the recording. Just check it.
Anyway, Dorman and Spartanburg are kind of in the driver's seat in that Region 3 right now because Spartanburg with their 13-0 win over Burns. And by the way, no offense getting those 13 points for Spartanburg. Burns' defense did a great job. Burns had the better field position all game and actually outgained the Vikings, but two huge plays made the difference. A pick six. Well, the first one was a block punt, scooped and scored for Spartanburg in the first half, and then a pick six in the second half, and that's your 13 points for Spartanburg. But they won it in a defensive battle. They also did a good job keeping Burns out of the end zone. Burns would get down inside the 30 of the Vikings several times in that game and then stall there. So Spartanburg and Dorman are now 1-0. Gaffney played outside the region. They played Rock Hill, and they won that game, but that's not a region game. So it's Spartanburg and Dorman at 1-0, Bowling Springs and Burns at 0-1 in the region right now. And this weekend will go a long way. I think this Burns-Bowling Springs game is huge. The loser is going to be in real danger of being the odd man out in that region because one team will not go to the playoffs.
You know what it reminds me of?
And one team will be 0-2 after that game.
You ever watch, like, enduro racing motorcycles when they do all the courses and all that? It's really tough to get out front, but if you get out front, you better. In other words, those teams that have fallen behind, these front runners, you've got to win now, man. You got to win now.
You only got four games,
That's
man.
That's what I'm saying. It's a sprint. It is.
It puts a premium on every region game.
Absolutely. I kind of like that in a way.
Every region game.
Unless we're the odd people out.
Unless
you know.
Your team's
that's
the one that's
right.
in trouble.
That's exactly right.
But I'll say it again. These teams are really pretty even. This is a very even game on Friday night.
Absolutely.
Really was. So I think anything can happen over the next three region games. But the edge right now goes to Dorman and Spartanburg. Dave Gutschall and Chris Miller's teams with the 1-0 record in Region 3. Just quickly, some of the other big scores. Broome continues to win. They're having a good year. They beat Mid-Carolina 14-6. Berea beat Southside 30-12. Let's see. Powdersville put it all over Carolina. 70-0.
Hey, them Powder Boys, they ain't no joke now. Mm. They built a program down there.
Chapman beat Clennon 38-17.
Nice win.
Chesney over Landrum 26-21.
Another nice win.
Christchurch got a good win over St. Joe's.
Yeah, that is
42-24 was the final.
It's a good one now.
Wren beat Daniel 35-30. It was Hannah over Easley 37-26. Union County beat Eastside 34-15. Gaffney beat Rock Hill 30-20.
That's a good win. Rock Hill's good again.
Greenville all over Pickens 51-0. It was Greenwood over Wade Hampton 35-7.
Oh, and I picked the Generals on that one. See, I tell you when I'm wrong.
All right.
Greer
started to roll a little bit. They beat Travelers Rest 55-21. Lawrence beat Hillcrest 21-14.
Wow.
It was Malden over Riverside 56-21. Woodruff struggling a little bit right now. They lost to Newberry 28-6. Northwestern, no trouble with Fort Mill, 41-0. And let's see, Southside really? Christian lost to Charlotte Latin. Charlotte Latin must be pretty good at things than Latin.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Pretty good football. 38-7 was the
final.
Dead
language, but an alive football team, I guess.
It was Westside getting back on the winning track, beating Woodmont 55-7.
Did you ever doubt it?
Yeah.
You knew that was going to happen.
Well, they're coming off that loss to Spartanburg where they gave it up in the fourth quarter.
Right, but you knew they'd come out just...
And South Point's for real. They beat Ridgeview 46-21. Some of the scores from Friday night high school football. This Friday night we'll have Burns and Bowling Springs, 7 o'clock airtime, and 7:30 kickoff, followed by Friday Night Wrap here on ESPN Upstate. Let's hold our nose and talk about the Carolina Panthers when we come back. It's not pretty. But we'll do that and hear from David Newton, ESPN Charlotte. Next in the huddle, phone lines open, 844-477-3776. You can text us at 47183 here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate.
From orange and white to garnet and black, now it's time for you to talk back.
Call 844-GSP-ESPN.
Text us at 47183.
Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
Get in the game on the huddle.
Your Carolina Panthers took it on the chin to the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta yesterday, 48-33. You're giving up 48 points to the Falcons. Come on, man. Making Matt Ryan look like a...
Matt Ryan's good.
Super Bowl quarterback.
He looked good. They look good. Carolina misses Josh big time. Boy, did it show Sunday.
When it got 30-10, I said, I'm done. And I just went to do something else. I can't believe Carolina came back and scored some more points.
And to me, a huge coaching error just by not putting double coverage on that guy. I mean, he's Julio Jones, for heaven's sake.
Julio.
He was Julio instead of Julio.
300 yards.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan had 500 yards passing. Julio Jones had 300 yards receiving.
Yeah, absolutely.
12 catches. just...
Oh, Josh.
It's going to be a long season.
It is.
It's going to be a very long season.
Y'all are throwing in the towel already?
I threw it in yesterday.
I ain't quite doing that for the Panthers, but, I mean, that's just... it's bad coaching, and it's bad ownership, if you ask me, and general management. I mean, you know, if I was Jerry Richardson, I told you this at the time it happened. If I was Jerry Richardson, that was... I'm overruling that one. I don't care what your philosophy is. You must have a lockdown corner, or you're going to have to. You're not going to give those young guys help with Julio Jones,
no.
Really? Seriously,
and they're not playing well. And Ben Wickery looked bad too. He's not a rookie,
anybody's,
but he looked bad.
Most guys are going to look bad against Julio for a whole game if you don't give him some help.
Mm-hmm.
He's ridiculous. I think out of all the games last year, I believe only against Julio Jones did Josh not absolutely lock down the number one receiver on the other team last year. And people are going to come back with, yo, Carolina, you don't know what you're talking about. Carolina plays a zone concept. But they have a lot of man-to-man principles, and Josh was guarding the number one receiver week in, week out. And he never struggled except for, I think, one Sunday against Julio. He had a pretty decent game on him, but only had one TD, if my memory serves me correctly.
Okay, but he's gone, KB.
I know that. I know that, but that was the
glaring. They got to get better.
That was the glaring weakness in that game. You can't let somebody cut you up.
And you got Cam in the concussion protocol now. He could have to sit this week. They play Tampa Bay Monday night next week, a week from tonight. And Cam, we don't know if he'll be in the game. Here is David Newton, ESPN.com in Charlotte, about the struggles yesterday, the Carolina Panthers.
Right now, I think they're going to see Julio Jones in their dreams or nightmares or whatever you want to call it. I mean, that was phenomenal what he did, but they've got some issues right now. The secondary just really had nobody that could match up against Julio Jones. The defensive line just wasn't getting enough pressure on Matt Ryan. They got gassed on a few times on the run game, too. Quarterback Cam Newton's got the concussion. He could miss a game. They just really got a lot of issues right now they've got to deal with. But they've been there before, as Ron Rivera said over and over. If you remember back in 2013, they were 1-3 and then ran off 8 straight wins to finish 12-4.
Is it personnel or scheme issues on the defense from what happened this weekend?
I think a lot of it was scheme. I mean, they tried to man up on Julio a lot, and I can't imagine the rookie corners out there, and even with Nathan Kinwickier, who's their more experienced corner, and he's not even that experienced, trying to man up on him. But that just was way too much to ask of those guys.
That's David Newton, ESPN.com in Charlotte. So now the Panthers are 1-3, and the Falcons are 3-1. But remember, the Falcons, they were 5-0 last year at one point.
So they're a much better football team now.
They're
though.
Better.
They really are.
But I don't necessarily know that they're going to run away with it.
I didn't say they're going to run away with it. They are a better football team.
Well, I don't think they're going to run away with
Matt
it.
Matt Ryan has gotten much more comfortable with this new offensive system, and, you know, he's
They're protecting him better,
yep,
which is
absolutely.
Key because that's
and
a
they
problem they've
it.
Had.
They can run it at times, too. You know, they got two good running backs, kind of different skill sets. One kid's big, you know. What's his name? Tevin Coleman out of Indiana.
Devontae Freeman's the other.
Yeah, and Devontae Freeman's more of a, you know, more of the speed guy and shifty guy. But both of them run the ball well when they need to. But they're more, you know, they want to sling it around too. You know, they want to be balanced, but they want to sling it around. And they cut Carolina up. Carolina's an excellent defensive team that's missing a very big part of their defense. But that's what I
is
think.
Is Jonathan Stewart that important
Who?
To the offense?
Yes. Because, they missed him.
Because
the
offense,
much of a running game
the last two games doesn't look anything like it did last year. And the first game, Jonathan Stewart being gone has hurt the offense so much.
It's a combination of things, but that's part of it. Yeah, Cam doesn't look like Cam yet. Cam doesn't look comfortable. Not nearly as strong as he was this time last year.
And today he may not even be sure he's Cam.
Yeah, I mean he's getting knocked silly.
Do you guys think, this is an honest question, and I'm not trying to stir things up, do you guys think the Superman thing has gotten to him a little bit too much, maybe needs to get out of making more commercials and that kind of thing and get back to the football field and become, you know, less of a star action figure?
What does that have to do with him getting his bell rung every single game because they're not protecting him? That has nothing to do with that.
No, I'm talking about he got his bell rung this week because he cruised on the goal line. He should have got his backside into the you know that if it's anywhere close, somebody in the anybody in NFL who's head hunting and all those guys are they're going to ring your bell. And that was exactly
Let me ask, are you saying saying he's too busy, or are you saying an ego thing?
No, I'm saying, let me finish my thought, because that guy was, he did the right football play. You know that, Lonzo.
I'm not faulting him.
Right. You get a ball carrier, and he's trying to get in the end zone. You're trying to keep him out. Even if you know he's barely going to beat you, that lick needs to be there. That's football. That's an intimidation factor. So the Atlanta Falcon did what he's supposed to do. But Cam Newton, and listen, he's made mistakes before. He needs to learn from that one too. But it's not just Cam Newton at all. But on that particular play, you either got to get airborne, or you got to cut or something. But you can't let that guy get a hit on you like that, because you're cruising in because you're Superman or whatever. I don't know what his rationale was.
So again,
for that.
So you're saying it's more of an ego thing, not that he's just too busy with all the commercials.
I'm saying the possibility exists that it might be. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a problem with a guy having an ego, but maybe you're making one or two too many ads and not spending quite enough time in the film room or wherever. I don't know. I'm just opening it up. I'm not saying that's what I think. But I mean, you know.
I don't think they do that stuff during the season. I think that's more of an off-season.
Well, that's
thing.
Fine, you know, but I don't know, man.
No, he looked like he was ready to celebrate a little early on that one, though. And he got smacked.
Yeah.
Got smacked. Yeah. And he was in. He was in on the first, but barely. But, and that's why he got his bell rung. He was in on the first attempt, not just the stretch.
And really, any defender worth his salt at that level knows you can't let him cruise in there. Now, if the guy would have been another yard or two back, yeah, you don't hit him. But if there's a chance...
No, that wasn't a bad hit, though.
No, not at all. That was football.
Right.
And you don't cruise in there, man, until you're well into the end zone. Then you cruise.
They have Derek Anderson if Cam can't play against Tampa Bay on Monday night. And Derek is good. So they're in good shape with one of the better backups in the league.
So who's the better team now? I mean, Tampa Bay, have they won a game?
Tampa Bay did win,
I believe.
Yeah.
But they got beat down the other day by a great defense. Denver's great defensively. There's no question.
They are.
There's no question. So, I mean, Tampa Bay will bounce back. They'll be fine. Jameis wants it. He has the ability to. But, I mean, you know, everybody's got to get on the same page.
What I'm saying is we're going to see 2-1-win teams playing each other.
2-1-3 teams.
Yep.
Are desperate.
But are better than their record. I mean, you know, NFL's a tough life, man. You better have everything, you know, hitting on most or all cylinders, you know, to even have a chance to win.
In the Sunday morning game, Jacksonville beat the Colts. Yep. Both those teams are now 1-3. 30-27 was the final. I didn't watch any of that. I forgot about it. Did you think about it? Turn on the TV?
I watched a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Colts look really bad, and it's hard to root for the Jags, so.
The Texans did beat the Titans 27-20. Osweiler, 25-37, had a decent game, couple touchdowns. I think Clowney had one sack in that game. The Redskins beat the Browns, had to come from behind to do it, and they did it. 31-20 was the final in that one. The Seahawks over the Jets, 27-17. Russell Wilson did play well, 309 yards, three touchdowns.
People were picking that upset, but I wasn't going for it.
The Bills shut out the New England Patriots, 16-0. 16-0. No points for the New England Patriots. So the Patriots do not get a sweep without Tom Brady, but they finished that 4-game stretch 3-1.
How's that serviceable quarterback working for you that week, Lonzo?
He was hurt. If he was healthy, it might have been a different.
Brissette?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was hurt.
I know. Okay.
He played.
Yep.
Well, you got to at that level. You got to play hurt.
Nobody else to play. Yeah, Edelman, I guess, would have been next. So.
Yeah, and, you know, they'd have won, whatever.
Yeah, they don't want.
So if Brady comes back and he loses a couple games just because he's rusty, because he hasn't played, right?
Dude, what do you do? I mean, you've taken 4 weeks off that was compounded and it was really 4 months because you haven't played since last year's playoffs?
You can't compare me to him. If I'm off a week, I come in here and I have no idea what this board is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he comes back. He's likely to have 300 yards and four touchdowns. And
he's Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever.
Absolutely.
He shouldn't have a problem at all when he comes back.
No, he's not Tom Brady automaton. He's Tom Brady, greatest quarterback ever, but human. Right?
So, he'll be all right. You don't think Brady's going to come back strong, Lonzo?
Yeah, I mean, he might have.
He'll come back and probably go undefeated. I just don't want to see that happen.
All right. Well, I got
He may have a bad game or two. I mean, it happens to everybody, but and somehow in the end, he gets it done.
I think Belichick made him throw this game so it would make Tom Brady feel better when he comes back. Make him feel
so
more needed.
Wouldn't have a controversy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nobody will ask now if they should start Brady.
It all works out.
Raiders over the Ravens by a point. Raiders are 3-1.
Absolutely.
Pretty good little team.
Yes,
Pretty good little team.
Trending in the right direction.
Steve Smith had a nice day for the Ravens. He had 111 yards receiving yesterday.
Oh, man. Do it, old man.
And 8 catches and a touchdown.
That's my boy.
The Bears beat the Lions 17-14, so both those teams are 1-3. Talked about the Broncos beating the Bucks 27-7. Rams over the Cardinals. The Rams are 3-1. The L.A. Rams off
they
to a good start.
Cardinals. I did not 17-13.
Cardinals are 1-3.
I thought the Cardinals would boat race them, to be honest with you. So I missed that one hugely.
That's just one of the few games I got right.
Saints beat the Chargers by 35-34. Both those teams are 1-3. Cowboys over the 49ers, 24-17 was the final. Cowboys are now 3-1.
I missed that one as well.
The Steelers all over the Chiefs. What's the matter with your Chiefs?
I don't know, man. What a bad weekend for me. I mean, I turned that game off, too. I turned the Panthers off. Oh, I was so...
It was Le'Veon Bell. He had 144 yards.
Actually, I was watching the game, and my wife did something, and a pipe busted loose in the bathroom, so I didn't get to watch the rest of the game, so I was okay with
anything,
that.
Yeah.
Yes. I had water going all over, and I was okay. I'd rather have that happen than watch that game. It was so bad.
Roethlisberger had 5 touchdown passes.
Once again, it was Miss Destiny.
Le'Veon Bell had 144 yards. So they had the running game and
another,
the passing game.
Another team that's supposed to have a really good defense, but I did not see it last night. It was bad.
No, that's for sure. Monday night game, the Giants at Minnesota. Come on, Giants. I need somebody to beat the Vikings.
Giants. Who'd you pick?
Minnesota.
I'm sure I picked the Vikings. They're at home. They're at home tonight in their new U.S. Bank Stadium with all their fancy.
And the teacup
sweets.
Is whole. The teacup is whole going in.
Mm-hmm.
He's whole going in, so he'll sling it.
Yeah, and I got Eli on one of my fantasy teams, so he'll lay an egg tonight.
Still got a pretty good pass rush with the Giants, right?
You didn't do as bad in the picks as you think you did either, by the way.
NFL picks?
Yeah.
You could hurt
was
teacup
right?
tonight.
Did better than other people.
You?
Yeah, well, did better than me and Mark and some other people in the building.
If you knock teacup out, who do they have? Is it Ponder or somebody? Who's second on their roster right now?
Oh, no.
It's a chance that the Giants knock Teacup out tonight.
Why do you say that?
It's that guy that started the game it's been around a while.
Yeah.
He started and won the game.
Yep. They were going to give him the keys, and then they got a chance to get Bradford, and that's who they got.
Yeah. It's Bradford.
It's the veteran.
Though.
You know, it's that
veteran.
One dude.
Yep. I'm trying to think of his name. But anyway.
I just want Minnesota to lose. That's all I want. Sean Hill's the guy.
Sean Hill. There you go.
844-477-3776. Text line 471-83 239. We'll be right back. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
You're in The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Opinions wanted at 844-GSP-ESPN.
Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
Text 47183.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
You're listening to The Huddle with Greg McKinney.
Welcome back to The Huddle. This is ESPN Upstate. GMAC, KB, and Lonzo. Phone lines open to you at 844-477-3776. Text line 47183. Alabama still number one in the country in the AP poll out this week. Ohio State stays at number 2. Clemson moves up to number 3 after their win over Louisville. It's Michigan at number 4. And it's Washington rounding out the top 5. Washington with a big blowout win over Stanford. They're number 5 in the country. Then the rest of the top 10, Houston, Louisville. Louisville only falls to 7. And shows you how impressed the pollsters were with their effort at Clemson.
Sure, absolutely.
Texas A&M is 8. Tennessee is 9. Miami is 10. All right, so that's your top 10 this week from the AP poll. Taj Boyd interviewed after the Clemson win over Louisville, the former quarterback for the Tigers, with some thoughts on what Clemson accomplished Saturday night at Death Valley.
If you look at how this game started for Deshaun Watson, 1 of 6 for 1 yard of the first quarter, we're kind of looking around saying, uh-oh, Deshaun doesn't have it. But what adjustments did Clemson make to get their star going?
I think they got him incorporated in the run game a little bit more. Obviously, that's something that's been less this entire season up until this game. So whenever you get him involved, whenever you get him comfortable, everything else opens. I mean, the O-line starts to protect a little bit better. The O-line starts to block a little more. Now Wayne has this extra crease to hit it. So I think he did an outstanding job of getting Deshaun involved.
Did you get the sense, too, when he was missing some of those passes early? Because it looked to me as if offensively they wanted to kind of hit some of those intermediate passes, some of those short passes, some of those intermediate routes to kind of get him some confidence?
Absolutely. And that's the thing. It's all about rhythm. It's all about getting being in sync. And you have some of those guys out there, the Artavis Scotts, the Jordan Leggetts, Deion Kane, Mike Williams. You have targets, you have weapons, but you have to get everybody involved, Ray McLeod, these type of guys. So whatever it takes, a swing pass, a dump pass, a pop pass, anything to get some rhythm going and some continuity.
You were a quarterback here at Clemson, and you understand how important it is to get in the rhythm, and more important, how pivotal the role players are. You'd mentioned some of those guys right there. As a quarterback, when you don't have your fastball early, how important are those role players to get you in the rhythm to where you need to win a ball game?
Well, it's very important. I mean, these guys are looking at you to be the leader, though. I mean, you have to come out there and steer that ship. And I think Deshaun did that. He came out, he performed when they needed him. He performed in the clutch. He made the plays that were there. And you give these guys a chance to make these plays. Essentially, as a quarterback, you're the point guard. When you step out there, you don't have to do anything that you don't need to do. Mm-hmm. You do enough. You get these guys the ball and let those guys make the plays.
Deshaun, to be fair, we're not pointing it out this morning because he counted for 5 touchdowns, led them to a victory. But, Taj, he had 4 turnovers. But yet, he was still able to come out there every time and lead his team in a drive that they needed.
And that's rare. It's rare to see a guy who's made mistakes, who's turned the ball over, and still have that confidence in himself, that whole confidence in that stadium surrounding him, that energy. You don't really see that too much, and that's what makes him special. That's what separates him from any other quarterback, is his ability to forget and continue to just play Tom Brady-ish.
Tom Brady-ish. How about that? You like that? From Taj Boyd, talking about Deshaun Watson. Tom Brady-ish.
Serviceable.
ACC Offensive Back of the Week. Center Jay Guillermo was the Offensive Lineman of the Week for the ACC, and linebacker Ben Bulware was the linebacker of the week. He had 18 tackles, including one that really ticked off Lamar Jackson.
And he's coming to a WWE ring near you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, Bulware apologized for that. Said that he wasn't intending to try to hurt him, but he did keep his
Can I do that to you and just say I'm sorry afterwards?
A little bit. Of a long time there at the end of that play. No, you cannot do that, to answer your question. Deshaun Watson, 20 of 31, 306 yards, 5 touchdown passes. He had 14 carries for 91 yards. So Deshaun Watson accounted for 397 yards of offense. He becomes the second FBS player to have at least 300 yards passing, 5 touchdown passes, and 90 yards rushing against a top 25 team in the past 4 years. You know who the other one was? We just heard from him. Taj Boyd did it against Ohio State in the 2014 Orange Bowl. So Clemson well recognized this week for the performances on the field on Saturday night in the 6-point win over Louisville. By the way, they're winning a lot of games by 6 points. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Something. Yep. Auburn was a 6-point win.
Yep.
Troy was a 6-point win.
Yep.
Louisville was a 6-point win.
Yep.
Or the Clemson Tigers. All right, we got to hit our last break. 844-477-3776. Text line 47183. Be right back. This is the Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
What's on your mind?
Talk at 844-GSP-ESPN.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM.
This is The Huddle with G-Mac, Greg McKinney,
KB,
Ken Blankenship,
and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate.
By the way, they set the time for the Clemson-NC State game coming up on the 15th.
And that time is...
12 noon. How you like that, Clemson fans?
Like me now, high noon.
A little surprised at that. You would think they could. I mean, Clemson's playing well, undefeated, number 3 in the country. NC State's not a. It's not South Carolina State.
Number 3 teams in the country don't play at noon.
No, they shouldn't.
That's right.
That could at least be a 3:30, 4 o'clock game, couldn't it?
That's right, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nope, 12 noon.
Yep.
12 noon on the 15th, NC State comes into Clemson.
I bet you the Clemson folks aren't real crazy about that.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I bet the fan base is not real crazy.
I wouldn't think so. Okay. I wouldn't think you would love that.
I wouldn't either if, I mean, you know.
And I don't love it because my
your show
will start at 9 a.m.
Breakfast, yeah.
My show will start at 9 after being out doing high school football. So, but hey, it's not about me, right?
You cook your own eggs or you get them out?
I don't eat eggs.
He doesn't eat eggs, remember?
That's right.
He doesn't like eggs.
Makes it easy.
Un-American.
Cook my own pancakes.
I'm very proud of you, G-Mac.
Thank you.
Really are there nice, eggs in the nice batter stuff. For that pancake?
Yes, I don't okay. care.
Oh, I'm just checking. I'm
getting
just
them in.
See
them in.
I eat eggs and cake
that.
And pancakes. That's how I eat my
that.
Eggs.
You say, yeah, I get my eggs. Don't worry about my eggs. I get them in cake.
Yep. Mm. And pancakes.
Mm-hmm. And pancakes.
Kirby Smart says Nick Chubb is likely to play against the Gamecocks Saturday.
Bum, bum, bum.
Said today, we feel good about him going into this week. He's cleared to go. His father had told the Atlanta paper his son would not play against Tennessee because of the high ankle sprain. That turned out not to be the case. He came in, carried the ball one time for 3 yards. One time for 3 yards against Tennessee. So if he does that against South Carolina, I'll take that. That counts as playing, right? Give me that. Give me Nick Chubb 1 for 3.
Against Carolina?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what he did against Tennessee.
I would love some 1 for 3.
Sony Michel carried it 16 times for 91 yards last week, and Brian Herrien carried it 15 for 74 yards. Elijah Holyfield, Evander's son, had yes. one carry for 2 yards last week.
One of 17 or so, I think.
Mm.
Boy, he's got some kids now.
So that's the deal. Looks like Chubb is in, but we will have to see at game time. And here's a little, you're all cocky about your,
was
about
not.
Your team.
Was not. I was cool with them. I'm good with them.
About your Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, we're good. We had a bye this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your starting linebacker is in jail. He's been in jail.
What happened?
It's Nigel Bradham, who is the strong side linebacker, according to TMZ Sports, booked second-degree misdemeanor concealed weapon last night in Miami. It's his second arrest this year.
We've already had to talk with him.
In July, he was arrested on suspicion of assault, punched an employee at a South Beach hotel. What kind of guys do you bring in Philadelphia anyway?
Well, obviously, we've got a little glitch in the system, so it needs to be tightened up.
The victim suffered a broken nose, contusions, and a cut lip after arguing with Bradham over the speed of service at the hotel. Obviously, it was not fast enough for Bradham. They're still investigating that incident, but now it's carrying a concealed weapon. So we'll see what Nigel Bradham's future is. Is he going to have to sit out some time?
We had to talk with all of our Eagles. We did. He knows better. Gentlemen, you can't live from your gut. You can't let your appetite rule you. You must rule from between your ears and not so much from your gut.
Mm-hmm.
You get a little... just not listening.
Your guys might be getting a little cocky because they're off to a good start.
No, that's not what it is, G-Mac.
Just saying. We just might be a little
bit. We need to vet our personnel a little better. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. All right, coming up in the final hour here in the huddle, we're going to hear from Bobby Petrino about the Clemson-Louisville game. We will hear the final out called by Vin Scully for the Dodgers yesterday. And, listen, we have some race tickets for you. We have tickets for the weekend race at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Thanks,
the big
man.
Fall race. Bank of America 500. We'll have a pair of tickets to give away in the next hour. So you'll want to stand by for that. That's coming up here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. There's a lot for the final hour to get done. We have Monday Night Football for you tonight here on ESPN Upstate. That's the New York Giants and the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. That's a 7:45 airtime. They'll kick it off around 8:30. And don't forget, we will have Wild Card Baseball Tuesday night. Tomorrow night, we'll have Baltimore-Toronto, the American League game at 7:30. And on Wednesday night, we'll have the National League game, San Francisco and the New York Mets, also at 7:30. So lots to come. Keep it right here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be back for the final hour after this top-of-the-hour break. Stay with us.